if you've got your Bibles, turning with me to Psalm 1, and we're going to read all of Psalm 1. Somebody say, uh-oh. And I didn't hear Brother Jose say it. Somebody say, uh-oh. He usually says it real loud. Amen. Psalm 1 and 1 through 6. How many of you have been reading your Bibles? How many of you pray today? Amen. Anybody pray for Pastor Panero? Amen. Amen. I need all the prayer I can get. I'm going back to the 105 degree weather on Friday. And I'm preaching a youth rally, a back to school youth rally for Section 3 on Friday. So how many of you just pray for Pastor this week that I don't get dehydrated and those kids don't wear me out? Amen. And there'll probably be 200-300 kids. And they're going to expect your pastor to preach and get them in the altar. And I believe God's going to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Somebody say, it's my fruit and my season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Somebody say, that's me. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. And I want to talk to you this evening on this thought. The blueprint of the blessed. The blueprint of the blessed. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Psalm 1 and 1 in the Amplified Version says, blessed or happy, fortunate, prosperous is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purpose, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sit down to relax and rest where the scornful or the mockers gather. The devil is active and will put obstacles in your way. He'll use those things to hinder you and to hurt you. There's the threefold danger this evening I want to talk about. The walking, the standing, and the sitting. Everyone wants to be blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Some of you want to be blessed. I haven't met too many people that wake up and say, well, I don't want to be blessed, you know. Anybody want to be blessed?
Amen.
And the sad thing is some people either do not know how to be blessed or they don't do what it takes to be blessed. And those are the folks that are just hearers, but they're not doers. We know that you're blessed when you give of your tithes and offerings. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But you're also blessed when you're a doer of the word. And Psalm 1 gives us a blueprint of the blessed. If you notice that Psalm 1 starts out and it begins to tell us about the foundations of what it takes to get to be blessed. There's a lot of folks that have a good heart. They have great intentions. They have great ideas, beliefs, and systems. But they're not obedient to the word of God. They're not faithful to the word of God. And they're not submitted to the word of God. You have to have all three of those. You have to be faithful, you have to be obedient, and you have to be submitted. Obedience is outward. Submission is inward. Faithfulness is, we spent several sermons this year and since I've been here about faithfulness. So you're either faithful or you're not.
Amen.
Well, and so the first point I want to make this evening is the blessed don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So if you're taking notes, the point is they don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. If you've ever told someone that has made something tasty, you know, maybe some salsa makers around here, you know, you say, man, how do I duplicate that? You know, how do I replicate that salsa? Maybe you were there Monday night and you saw the fresh homemade chicken Alfredo that Brother Mario made for everybody from scratch. I couldn't believe it. I was blown away that to him, it's no big deal, you know, to feed that many people, but from scratch. I mean, they cut the chicken and they made the sauce. He was putting lots of cheese in the sauce, and he was putting broccoli in there, and he was using some kind of milk, and I actually put the butter in, so I know there was a lot of butter in there, and it was amazing, and it was tasty. And if you try to duplicate that, he would tell you, you got to do this, this, and this at this time, and it takes this amount. And it's the same thing with being blessed. The Word of God tells us how to be blessed. We just have to do what the Word of God tells us. And the blessed people don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You tell somebody, I want to be blessed. They're going to tell you, well, the Word of God tells us exactly how to be blessed. This means that the blessed people don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It means that they don't heed the advice or duplicate what the ungodly tell them to do. Somebody say amen. Amen. That means we don't duplicate the mindsets, the ways, the lifestyles, the goals, the ambitions, the dress of the ungodly. And notice who the ungodly are. The ungodly is he who does not have God in him. Ungodly is defined as the wicked, not accepting God or not influenced by God. Listen to Pastor. Our associates in the church and out of the church have an influence on us. Amen. Well, many times it's in very subtle ways. Remember, it's the subtle things that drift us apart from God. Most people, I was there, most people don't wake up one day and say, well, I quit. I'm not going to church. I'm not living for God. I don't want to be a Christian anymore. But it's the little things that take place. As Bishop Mullings would say, decisions you didn't realize you were making that add up. And before you know it, you're looking back and you're missing church. You're out of church. You're so far from God. It isn't something that you anticipated or expected, but it happened. The same thing with not being blessed. Start taking the advice of people, places, and things that aren't blessed. If they're not blessed, why would you want their advice? Well, it's a subtle thing. Subtle, cunning, crafty, clever. Remember in Genesis 3:1, the scripture says that the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, hath God said, ye shall now eat of every tree of the garden? The first mistake was, she's talking to a serpent. That preaches real good. But we don't know what it was like. Why if the devil's talking, he's lying. That's the bottom line, right? Don't have to hear anything he has to say. You want to be blessed? You do exactly the opposite of what the wicked tell you. You do exactly the opposite of what the devil is saying. He says, well, don't praise the Lord. Well, guess what? I want to be blessed, so I'm going to praise the Lord. He said, don't go to church. Oh, you could just watch online. No, I'm going to church. It's not the same online. I know it's there and it's a ministry and it serves its purpose. But can anybody testify? It's just something about being in the presence of the Lord with God's people.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Why would you want to take spiritual advice from someone that's not even living for God? The counsel that they will be providing you will not be biblical, neither will it be spiritual. Notice what the scripture says in Psalm 34:8. Taste the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Our trust is in the Lord. Our trust is not in our job, in our pocketbook, in our parents. Your trust isn't in Pastor Panero. Our trust is in the Lord. Follow me as I follow Christ. The moment you see me not following Christ, hey, kick me to the curb. Get me out of here. You follow me as I follow Christ. As I'm walking and you're following behind me, you need to be able to take just a little look like you do on the road and say, okay, he's following the Lord. These signs shall follow them that believe. There should be signs that follow us that believe. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
When the Word of God gives reference to walking, it's to go along with, to follow a course of action, to live or follow a way of life. Notice Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That's a powerful scripture. Notice the key word. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You don't have to give consent if the sinners are enticing them. enticing you. Remember what Romans tells us, that sin hath no dominion over you. You can avoid sin. You can avoid temptation. Well, if they say, come with us, let us lie, wait for blood. This is what the ungodly do. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up as the grave and whole as they that go down in the pit. Verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't walk on the path. There's two roads, right? One straight and narrow and one is wide. Leads towards destruction. Just because everybody's doing it, it doesn't make it right. No, it's an old cliche. We've all used it from the beginning of time, but it should be in the Bible. It's pretty good. The devil will paint a great picture for you. He'll tell you that this is what I can do. And that's exactly, he'll do that, but he don't tell you the end. Our Heavenly Father is the Alpha and the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning, and he's there with us the entire time. If I were you, and you want to be blessed, I would not take the advice of the ungodly. I wouldn't walk with the ungodly. I wouldn't stand with them. I wouldn't take their ways, but I would pursue after righteousness. So I can be the tree planted by the rivers of water, and I can prosper, I can have abundance, and I will bear fruit, and my leaves will not wither. Amen. Notice this. The counsel of the ungodly will encourage us to be vindictive and get even, but that doesn't promote a blessing. You ever hear that statement? I get even. That's what the ungodly would have you do. But notice this, 1 Peter 3:9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise a blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Being vindictive does not get you a blessing, but giving a blessing, blessing plus blessing equals blessing. Rendering evil for evil or railing for railing does not equal a blessing. That's why the Bible says, turn the other cheek. That's what it says. Somebody does something wrong to you. Peter was asking the question, the Apostle Peter. Well, how many times do I got to forgive them? How many times do I... Hey, 70 times 7. They come to you with the right spirit, forgive them. We talked about the spirit of offense. And thank you, by the way, for all those who said that sermon did help you. I appreciate that. But hey, if they want the shirt off your back, you know, make sure you give them the shirt off your back. That's what it says. You want to be blessed. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Notice this. The counsel of the ungodly will tell you it's okay to look at the menu as long as you don't order. Some of you are laughing because you know what that means. The Bible says, Matthew 5:28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Mm-hmm. The counsel of the ungodly will tell you it's okay to lie. It's going to protect them. I'll cover for you. It's okay to get drunk. We'll get an Uber. You're not an alcoholic. Alcoholics go to meetings. That's the counsel of the ungodly. The counsel of the ungodly will tell you it's okay to covet. You work hard. You deserve it. Counsel of the ungodly will tell you nobody's going to find out. You're on vacation. You're out of town. Nobody will see. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous, the wicked, the unjust, the heathen, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. See, the ungodly don't tell you those things. The Word of God tells you. You want to be blessed? You want to stay blessed? Then delight yourself in the law of the Lord and in His law meditate on it. Our desire ought to be the will of God. Our desire and our intentions ought to be the Word of God. Our purpose ought to be the Word of God. And we ought to be doers of the Word of God. Proverbs 3:1 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Notice the correlation in Psalms 1. Blessed is the man, and the beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Notice the correlation. Notice the correlation between our scripture text, Psalm 1, and what the Lord spoke to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, probably right around verse 8. He says, he tells him, let the words and the commandments of what I'm telling you, let them be in thy heart, and don't walk away from that. There's something about the tangible word of God. There's something about the powerful word of God. The scripture tells us that God does not lie. God does not change. God does not forget. And if God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. If God says he's going to bless, the scripture tells us he's not a man that he should lie. And if God commands a blessing, then there's going to be a blessing. So I ask you, who are you acknowledging? What are you acknowledging? And Matthew 5:6 tells us, blessed are they do which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, so they shall, and they shall be filled. So if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you're going to be blessed. But if you heed to the counsel of the ungodly, you're not going to be blessed. The blueprint of the blessed, understand my second point, which is sin is progressive. Sin is missing the mark. For a sinner, or a sinner is someone who misses the mark due to a sinful thought, action, omitted, or committed. A lot of times we sin and we do it with sins of omission. But notice this, the scripture tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the blessed man doesn't go around habitually sinning. Blessed man doesn't do that. The blessed man understands that the way of the sinner is right in his own eyes. The blessed man understands that they're weak, but they need God, and they're not using God as a crutch, but they're using God who is the source of our life. Just as oxygen is the source of our life, blood is the source of our physical body, our spiritual life comes from the Lord, right? I say it often, Genesis 2:7, and God formed man from the dust of the earth, and he breathed in the man, and man became a living soul. In order for us to continue to be blessed, we have to have God breathe in us and through us. Somebody say amen. The blessed man understands that sin is progressive. Sin breeds sin just as faith breeds faith. Sin produces sin. Forgiveness produces forgiveness. James 1:14 tells us that every man is tempted when he's drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Notice what happens with sin. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Then Paul says, do not err, my beloved brethren, or don't get it wrong. Tell your neighbor, don't get it wrong. Notice this. If you take the advice of the ungodly, the scripture says, then you'll find yourself standing in the way of the sinners. When you stand in the way of the sinners or the pattern of the sinners, it means that you're mimicking or doing what they do, and you're like standing around just doing it. You ever hear the phrase, mama ever tell you the phrase, that you're guilty by association? Well, you were there, so you're just as guilty as all of them. But no buts about it. Get in the house. When you're standing in it, you're all in. It's like jumping into a swimming pool. Matthew 6:24 tells us that no man can serve two masters. You either will hate one and love the other, or you'll cleave to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and the devil. You can't serve God and the flesh. You can't be in the church today and in the world tomorrow and expect God to bless and to rain on you and for you to get to heaven. Not going to work that way. The blueprint of the blessed is I serve the Lord with all that I got. I mess up, but I get back up and I keep going. The righteous man falleth down, but he gets back up and keeps going. Scripture says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So notice this, if we understand and believe that the Word of God is true. How many would believe that the Word of God is true? Then this gives a whole new meaning to Psalm 119 and 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. That ought to be our prayer. That ought to be something we think about and we meditate about. That's why the scripture says in Romans 12 and 2, and be not conformed to this world. Don't go to the pattern of this world. Don't be a cookie cutter of this world. If you're going to be a cookie cutter of anything, you ought to be a cookie cutter of our Heavenly Father. You're going to be a cookie cutter of anything, be like Jesus and let Him cut you out and then fill you with the substance of His love, because the fruit of the Spirit will begin to be manifested in you if you have the cutout of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Blessed is the man that not walketh in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. The scornful is a mocker or a scoffer. The scorners are those that make a mockery of God and sin. Notice Proverbs 14 and 9. Fools make a mock at sin. Tell your neighbor, don't be a fool. But among the righteous, there is favor. Scoffers are the ones that sin and smile when they're doing it. Mm-hmm. These are the folks that make comments like, we're going to burn in hell. And they're happy and smiling about it. Yeah, that's what a scoffer is. Oh, I've been doing this for years and I'm okay. Well, we're going to party when we get there, man. No, there's not going to be no party, man. They ridicule. You're going to church again? Twice on Sundays? You know what I tell them? You're partying again? You spent your whole check again? You lost your money at the casino again? The whole thing again? Really? You got another DUI again? What? You got divorced again? What? You sleeping on the couch again? We can do that too, right? But we choose not to. Right? Because God won't be mocked. Come on, somebody. The blueprint of the blessed. The scoffers. Look at me. I'm a good person. You're just weak. You need church and God. Now, they're rejecting God. That's what they're doing. Oh, I have better things to do with my life. Really, it's your life. Wow. That's a spirit of indifference. Yeah. Nobody's going to tell me that I need to give money to the church. It's my money. Nobody's going to tell me how to spend it. Really? Oh, man. You know, let me just break down, give you just something that even some folks that don't come to church, they haven't been to church since I've been here. They still send in their tithes and offering every week because they understand the principle of tithes and offering. I tell you what, God's blessing them in some ways. Well, really, Pastor? Yeah, really. Because it's biblical and it's right. And they may be doing a lot of things wrong, but that one thing, guess what? They always have a job. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, scoffers. I could stay home and read my Bible. I don't need to go to church. I don't need a pastor or a church. Well, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Oh. And so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Can anybody testify that we're living at the end of the end?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Pastor, we're only having one service on September 2nd. I know. I get it. We need balance, right? We're going to be in church, some of us, every day that week doing something. We need balance. We got to have family time. You got to have balance. Hey, the Sabbath was created for man. You got to have rest. Right, Brother Nichols? If you don't stop and unwind, you will unwind and stop. Come on, somebody. The blueprint of the blessed. They have a conscience that's been seared. They become desensitized. The blueprint of the blessed doesn't linger, sit, stand, heed the advice of the ungodly, the sinner, or the scoffer. But they have the revelation that point number 3 is, our delight is in the Lord. When you delight in something, you have desire in. You take pleasure in. You do it with purpose. It's willing. You do it because you want to. It's with joy and enjoyment. It doesn't mean that you will not have disappointments or trouble or heartache. It doesn't mean that you're not going to face circumstances that are embarrassing or fearful or won't be isolated. Neither does it guarantee health and wellness and 24/7 happiness. To some, it's boring. But to the blessed man, it's exciting.
Yeah, amen, amen, amen.
Well,
yes.
To some, it's dull. But to the blessed man, it's delightful. Yeah, I get to go to church.
Yeah.
I get to give God glory.
Yes.
He woke me up this morning. Mm. It's His breath in my lungs. I clap my hands because God is good. I stomp my feet because I want to stomp on the devil and remind him that he's under me. I have all authority. I got the power. I got the victory. I lift my voice because the Bible says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He's good, for His mercy endureth forever. And I don't got everything right, but one thing I do know, the Lord is good, and He's been good to me. And I'm going to be blessed. I want to keep on being blessed, because too much giving is much required. And I've been blessed a whole lot, so it requires a lot of praise. It requires a lot of worship. It requires a lot of activity given to God, because He is the source of my life. I want to bear fruit. I want to be that tree planted by the rivers of water. I don't want to hear what the enemy has to say. I don't even know what the enemy was thinking. I don't care. But God deserves the glory, the praise. He is the source of my life. And I want to be blessed and stay blessed. Somebody say amen. To some, it's a fantasy. But to you, it's a fact. Mm.
Amen.
Song says, I've tried Him, and I found out that He's all right.
Yeah.
Mm. To some, it's information. But for you, it's inspiration.
Mm.
You understand there's going to be times of plenty. But you understand there's going to be times of not so plenty. But you have pleasure and delight in the Lord. Psalmist writes in Psalm 37 and 25, I've been young. Somebody say, that's me.
Amen.
And I've been old. No looking around. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's the blessed life. Anybody want to live the blessed life? We got all kinds of life. We got the stress life. We got the single life. We got the married life. We got the sick life. Why don't we have the blessed life? Say, I'm living the blessed life. I know somebody wrote a book a long time, My Best Life Now. I don't believe in that, because my best life isn't now. My best life is when I get to heaven. But you know what? I'm going to be blessed right now. Might not have everything I want, but I got what I need. And my Father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He knows the stars. He knows my name. There isn't anything He can't do, won't do for His people. We've been young and we've been old, but we've never been forsaken, because we're the righteous. Somebody say the righteous. Job is a good example of this. Job understood. He lost it all. He had much, but he lost it all. But he never cursed God. He had folks come and sit with him and try to reason and try to rationalize and say, well, Job, maybe this is why. And Job questioned God. Yeah, he did. He wished he was dead, but he understood that his delight was in the Lord. Notice what he said in Job 1:21. He said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Mm. Blessed or blessed be the name of the Lord. Mm. And Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. That's a man whose delight was in the Lord.
Amen.
Take note from Job. Somebody take note. Somebody say, take note from Job.
Psalm
1:1 says, 1:2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf, somebody say, that's me. shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That means that's because he meditates on the word day and night. When you begin to break that word meditate down, it's like it's a humming sound. Brother Green's not here. Sister Megan's here. But a lot of times you hear the organ and it kind of has that humming sound in the beginning and it's just kind of lingering, right? That's kind of what it means. They're meditating. It's thought. The thoughts is just kind of humming in your mind, in your spirit. You're just kind of walking around. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, kind of think about it. Wow. Having a bad day and I begin to testify to myself of the goodness of the Lord. Think about His word that says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and the steps of the righteous. The Lord's going to do things and the Lord is watching me and His banner over me is love and He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's the God of gods and the King of kings and I'm His child. You begin to quote scripture to yourself. Say, you know, I'm going to think on these things, right? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. A lot of us are thinking about all the stuff that used to be when we were in the world and things that people said about us. Guess what? That's a bunch of garbage. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Your sins have been washed away. You're a brand new person. Say, I'm not that anymore. I feel like preaching tonight.
Amen.
The blessed life. The blueprint of the blessed. It means they think on it. As the musicians come, they're devoted to the thought. They reflect on the thought. They engage in the thought. It's the thoughts that are in our minds that we end up acting on. So if we're meditating on the law of the Lord, then we'll begin to act on the Word of God. Just like bad words and ideas and statements affect us, so does good words, statements, and facts. Proverbs 12 and 25 says, heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word. Somebody say a good word. Maketh it glad. I say we start acting on the good word of the Lord. Why not? Why do we hear bad news? Or somebody says something, you're like, you already automatically accept it. But when something good happens, you're like, oh, I need to get a second opinion. Why? If it's in the word of God, it's true. If it's a prophetic word from God, take it as a prophetic word from God, right? Isaiah tells us His word doesn't go out and return unto Him void. Sometimes it's just lingering out there over us, woo, waiting for the word, you know, kind of pay attention. That was for you. Tell your neighbor, that was for you. The word of the Lord becomes alive when we begin to meditate and think on it. Notice Hebrews 4 and 12 as we stand. For the word of God is quick and powerful. That's the word of God. Notice, when you start meditating on the word of God and you start living according to the word of God, the scoffer, the sinner, or the ungodly can say what they want to say, and because you're filled with the Spirit and you're meditating on the word of God, Sister Obadina, it's a discerner. You can be able to discern and say, that's not of God. That's false. That's either flesh or the devil. Either way, I want nothing to do with it. Amen. Then you're able to identify the blessing and the blessed word of God. Notice this. Matthew 4 and 4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. When you start to dwell on the things of God, especially the word of God, you can delight yourself in it. You could start acting in it. You could start proclaiming in it. There was a promise given to us because the father Abraham, the father of the faithful, I will bless those that bless you and I will curse those that curse you. He says, every place you put your foot on is yours. Right. You know what some of us need to start doing when we walk out of our house? Say, Lord, I'm a blessed person, Lord. And when I get to work and they start saying stuff, I'm not going to stand there and take it, but I'm going to go back to my cubicle and pray, Lord, I pray for them, Lord, because they don't know who I am, God. I pray, God, that you let me have wisdom, God. I pray, God, that you would forgive them from their evil ways and you open doors. You go to some business meetings and you pray, Lord, I pray for this meeting because I delight myself. You said, Lord, ask anything in your name and I'm asking, God. I'm your child. Aren't I your child, Lord? And your word says, so I proclaim it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
The word of the Lord is right. And all his works are done in truth. I'm going to close with this. We need to be careful what we categorize a blessing.
Yes.
Because Proverbs 10 and 22 says, the blessings of the Lord make it rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. So be very careful what you would categorize a blessing, lest it consume you. God takes it away and you realize it wasn't a blessing. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many could testify that our God's a way maker tonight? How many could testify you've had good days, you've had bad days, you've had times of plenty? We've been living in a season of revival for a while. Guess what? There's going to be seasons of pruning. There's gonna be other seasons, but guess what? Right now, we're in the blessed season right now, spiritually. Even when you walk in the valley, in the wilderness, it's still blessed. Some of you are spiritually walking in the valley, in a season of wilderness. I'm in the Holy Ghost right now, and you're wondering, well, my curse? No. You don't get the good fruit unless there's pruning. Where are you rooted to? Are you rooted? Are you growing? Are you bearing fruit? In either category, you should be thriving. Why don't we find a place to pray right now and accept the tangible spoken word of God? Sister Ellen blesses us with song. Let's talk to the Lord tonight. Let's take a few minutes. Come on, Pastor. Purposely doesn't go very long on Wednesdays because I want us to come in and get a word and pray and then leave. But we got to respond.
I worship you. You are here, rearranging destinies. I worship you.
I'm not going to sit.
Turning lives around.
In the counsel of the ungodly.
I worship you.
I'm going to delight in you.
I worship you. You are here. You are working miracles.
I worship you. In fact, I would challenge you tonight. If you're walking in a wilderness situation, you need to proclaim that you're blessed anyways.
Promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Waymaker, miracle worker,
promise
keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
I delight in the word of the Lord. I meditate on his word.
Waymaker, miracle worker,
promise
keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.